Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warres.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Finn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Sky Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
Two of Australia's leading MVPs, presenters, bloggers, and all-round Microsoft tech nerds. Robert Crane. He's an Office 365 MVP and the director of CIA Ops. Mark Keane. He's a Microsoft Azure MVP and an Azure / PowerShell Premier. Not anymore. I'm off work for an undisclosed period of time until I start my full-time role with Microsoft, at which point I'll no longer be an MVP. All the latest Microsoft cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's the Need to Know podcast, all thanks to Rode Microphones. And brought to you by Ingram Micro Cloud. Streamline the provisioning, billing and management of your clients' popular cloud business applications, including Microsoft Azure, Office 365, Skykick and more, with the Ingram Micro Cloud Marketplace and Cloud Store. Registrations for the Ingram Micro Cloud Summit 2017 across Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane are now open at www.ingrammicrocloudsummit.com.au. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, NGK Podcast, and online at podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast. This is episode 166, and as always, I'm joined by the excitable Mark Keane over there on the other side of the microphone.
Hey, Mark, how are you going? Rob, welcome to episode 166, all thanks to Ingram Micro Cloud and Rode Microphones.
We couldn't do this podcast without them as much as we couldn't do it without you. So I believe that you have some big news for our listeners about the world and times of Mark Keane. So are you going to share that with us?
Yep. It means I need to modify the opening of our podcast. I've got to revoice a tiny bit of it because it's not correct anymore.
Does that mean you've got the sack?
Well, yeah, they call the contract. I mean, you might be wondering, like on the intro to the podcast, it says that I'm an MVP and I'm a PFE for Microsoft. Now, does that really go hand in hand? Are you allowed to, Rob, work at Microsoft and be an MVP at the same time?
No.
Exactly. And so the way I got around it is basically I was a contractor. And the contract came to an end earlier, which for reasons we won't go into, there's reasons behind the scenes, which is above my boss's boss and my boss and his boss's boss from the top. But anyway, they canned it at the end of September. And so I was like, I had month notice and I then ran around and talked to all the powers that be and spoke to all the people that I knew. And anyway, managed to very luckily, get a job at Microsoft as a full-time person. So yes, there will be some changes to the intro. I'll have to remove out the whole MVP part, although technically I'm an MVP still at the moment because I'm in this limbo period. I finished the contract. I'm just waiting for the background check to complete, which takes a couple of minutes. A couple of weeks. All the paperwork has been signed and everything else. So we're just waiting on the background check to complete, and that's pretty much it.
All right, so only those of you who have evidence against Mark becoming a Microsoft employee better submit it quickly because you've only got a two-week window. But that's great news for Mark there and gives us more access into behind the scenes in Microsoft. But it probably also means that he has to be a little bit more careful about what he says and how he says it.
Well,
so,
I can't give my recommendations anymore. Although I might even add to the beginning of the podcast blurbs as such like, opinions of my own or opinions of mine do not reflect those of my employer or something like that. I noticed a lot of FTEs at Microsoft have that on their Twitter profiles just to basically protect them, to say like these opinions are my own. But yeah, stuff like that, you have to be careful because otherwise you might hear certain opinions like, oh, Mark said should do it this way or Mark said should do it this way, but those do not necessarily reflect those of my employer as such.
So it sounds as though Mark is in the market for a good lawyer, so you can contact him at Mark Keane on Twitter. Now, apart from Mark obviously getting a new role inside the Big Blue, there has been a rather large conference taking place in the US that has been focused on Microsoft with a huge amount of announcements. So we're going to bring you as many of those as we can. And unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be able to stop Mark once we get him started. So why don't you kick us off, Mark, with some of the things that grabbed your interest there at Ignite.
All right, I've got a whole list of stuff. These are just the announcements. I'll keep it as brief as possible. I'll go in just a little detail so you understand what they are, but just enough, and then we'll just run through them top to bottom. Okay, so we'll kick off ND and NCV2 VM sizes. So these are top-of-the-line GPUs for artificial intelligence and machine learning, and also they use the NVIDIA Pascal generation P100 and P40 GPUs. All right. Also, new VM sizes for SQL and Oracle deployments. So these are DS, ES, GS, and MS, which massively helps with CPU core-based licensing. So these VMs constrain the virtual CPU count to 1/2 or 1/4 of the original VM size while maintaining the same memory, storage, and I/O bandwidth. One of the biggest challenges with running SQL and Oracle, you want high memory and I/O, but not as many cores. And now you can have these new Azure VMs to help. So more info of that in the show notes. Also, on the subject of VMs, burstable VM sizes. We touched on this in the last episode, but yeah, that was also announced at Ignite. So you have a baseline performance measurement, and then if you normally run under this baseline for most of the time, that's fine. You can build up credits, and then when you need to, when you have enough credits gained, you can all of a sudden burst to a higher CPU usage, higher than the baseline, and that is in preview today. So more info of that in the show notes. The largest SAP HANA system, Rob, in the cloud. Check this out. 20 terabytes of memory on a single node. That's huge. 960 CPUs and bare metal performance. So yeah, they're really sort of going to market on enterprise level SAP customers. So that's there as well. VMSS, so virtual machine scale sets, which has been out for a while. So you can easily scale up to 1,000 VMs in a scale set using managed disks. So the new things that are coming shortly are auto operating system upgrades, also IPv6 load balancer support, and zone redundant VMSS. Okay, that stuff's all coming. It's been announced at Ignite. Also managed disks, Rob. So no storage account. Everyone knows about managed disks. You don't have to worry about the storage account. Plus you can make use of what's called encryption at rest for security. So new things coming in managed disks, incremental snapshots, larger disk sizes. So currently at the moment goes up to, Rob, do you know how much they go up to at the moment?
4 terabytes.
Exactly. So there's larger ones coming. So watch this space. Also cross-subscription and region sharing, which is quite handy because I tried to do that the other day and it didn't really work. And also to private repository. So within a company, only specific people get access to the disks. Also announced adaptive threat protection, intelligent threat detection and response, investigation into security risks. Now there is security playbooks in the Azure Security Center, which leverage logic apps in the back end. You're notified now of any security risks, like say suspicious executables, and then have the option to run playbooks, which are pretty much logic apps, to respond to these security alerts. So as an example, you can post a message to Teams and log a ticket in ServiceNow all automatically. The other one that was announced is, this one's good for security, is confidential computing, rather. So this is a secure enclave inside of the brand new Intel Skylake chip. A subset of operations running inside of the CPU can be encrypted with a key, which even Microsoft don't even have access to. So you can prevent unauthorized data access, block admin malicious insiders, and also too, you can enable new business by using what's called blockchain, which has been big in the media recently. The other one is Azure Policy Center. This has been around previously. However, now it's much, much easier in the portal. You can create policy definitions which deny, allow, or audit activities in your subscription. Then you can assign these policies to your subscriptions, resource groups, or resources, which come into effect at the time of deployment. However, you can now see any resources which are not in compliance, and you have the chance to act on that if you need to. Management groups is another announcement that came out. So you can group together multiple subscriptions if you need to. You can have more than one subscription, especially when it comes to an EA, for instance. So organizational alignment for Azure subscriptions, targeted resource policy, access control and budgeting, compliance, security, and reporting by team. The other one is Azure Availability Zones. So with 42 announced regions worldwide, more than any public cloud provider, you can now begin to use Azure Availability Zones in preview for resiliency and high availability. So availability zones are fault-isolated locations within an Azure region, providing redundant power, cooling, and networking. Availability zones allow you to run mission-critical applications with higher availability and fault tolerance to data center failures. Azure Availability Zones will come with a whopping, check this out, Rob, it's a 99.99% SLA for a virtual machine. So it's all happening when it comes out. So Availability Zones are now in preview in two regions, East US 2, and that's in Virginia, and also West Europe in the Netherlands. And before the end of the year, additional regions will be out and available for availability zones in the US, Europe, and Asia, including the new France central region in Paris. So more info of that in the show notes. The other one is the Azure Reserved VM Instances. So available later this year, you'll be able to reserve virtual machines on Azure for 1 or 3 year terms with significant cost savings up to 82% over pay-as-you-go prices when combined with Azure Hybrid Benefit, and up to 72% on all VMs. So simply select the VM type, term, and data center region, and the compute resources will be available when and where you need them. So improve your budgeting with a single upfront payment while maintaining the flexibility or exchange, or you can cancel at any time. Rob, I might break there because there's a whole bunch more. So let's hand the baton over to you.
Oh, well, lots of Azure news there, Mark, but I think you've missed the most important aspect of the Azure news.
I'm still going through. So we've talked about Migrate, the free account with Azure, and the new storage. I've still got more to go. Why? What are you?
All right, no, I'll keep you in suspense. We'll wait until the end. Just make sure that you cover it fully for all the ladies and gentlemen out there. So what we've also had, like I said, lots and lots of announcements around the OneDrive, and we've also got lots of announcements now around the SharePoint. So SharePoint has been promising us a new admin center for a while. One of the downsides with the current older version of the admin in SharePoint is we can't see group sites, we can't see sites that were created with Microsoft Teams. Now, we could manipulate those using PowerShell, but they weren't in the admin console. So Microsoft is rolling out a new SharePoint admin console. It will roll in the OneDrive admin console into it as well. So it's all now in the admin area of your tenant. So nice new interface, easy way to locate group sites and information. They're also rolling in things like the statistics, the metrics, all of that is now beginning to roll into the console rather than being these separate entities. Another announcement that Microsoft made in regards to SharePoint is they have released now a SharePoint migration tool. So this is a free product from Microsoft you can download, and it will allow you to basically copy your files from a local SharePoint server, from a local file share, up into SharePoint Online. Now, it is rather basic in the way that it goes. I've used it, played with it. It doesn't do things like rename reserve files that have illegal characters as yet, But I think it's good that Microsoft's got into this space. We're going to see this product improve over time, I think. So it's good to see Microsoft bringing out a very simplified migration tool. So have a look at that if you're doing migrations to SharePoint. If you need things more complex, then again, you need to look at third-party products, typically like ShareGate. ShareGate's something I would certainly recommend, but it is rather expensive in the SMB space. So have a look at the new SharePoint migration tool. Keep an eye on that, I think, as new features are continually added to that product. Now, another thing Microsoft announced was something called a SharePoint Hub site. Now, we've got a situation now where people are creating groups and they get a SharePoint site. They create teams and they get a SharePoint site. They create a team site and they get a team site, and so on and so on. So we're getting lots and lots of these SharePoint site collections being created, and the Hub site is designed to pull all those together. So with a Hub site, you basically link to all these other sites you've created. Now, the Hub site will obviously give you centralized navigation, but also centralized look and feel. The advantage is that as your navigation needs change over time, then you can modify the links in the Hub site. So the Hub site brings all this stuff together for you nice and easily. Let's talk about some important announcements around Exchange. For those of you who may not be aware, Outlook 2007 will no longer be able to connect to things like Office 365 and the latest version of Exchange. You'll need to upgrade to Outlook 2010 with patches, or 2013 or 2016. So make sure that you do make those updates so that you continue to connect to Exchange server, especially if you're using Outlook 2007 Office 365. Now, probably the biggest Office 365 news from the conference was the fact that Skype for Business has been renamed, or is being renamed, to Microsoft Teams. So what we're seeing is the integration of the calling abilities into Microsoft Teams, making calls, receiving calls, and the Skype for Business client will basically be deprecated into Teams. A lot of confusion, I suppose, or more clarity required as to what's happening. Microsoft certainly has some guidance documents that we can link to, but look for those. Questions around, if you've rolled out Skype for Business and people are using that, does that mean Teams replaces that, or how does that fit into it? Microsoft does need to, again, get that information out. But if you're looking at it, the good thing, I think, is it's going to make life a lot simpler when it comes to doing communications, voice calls. Skype for Business is great, has a lot of features, but like most things, it's probably a little bit complex for the average user. They just want to make and receive calls and potentially record them. So again, watch out for Skype for Business getting a makeover into Teams. And I think, as I've mentioned before, we've gone from Office Communication Server to Link Server to Skype for Business, now to Teams. So it's probably one of the most renamed products that Microsoft has. Now, on that score, Microsoft has announced it will be releasing new versions of Office On-Prem. So Office on the Desktop 2019, Office basically for a new Skype Server On-Prem 2019, Exchange 2019, and also SharePoint 2019. So if you're concerned that everything's going to the cloud, Microsoft is releasing another version of its Office suite that you can install on-prem going forward. So that will be available. More news that is expected to go into beta or into preview, I think, in the second half of 2018. Now, for me, the big invites, or the big information that came out, or the most important for Office 365, was around OneDrive. So lots of news on OneDrive updates. Now, we're going to see the OneDrive on demand. So Microsoft did preview that. That comes with the Fall Creators Update that allows you to save the majority of your information in your OneDrive and have that up in the cloud, but still see the listings of it and then bring it down as required, again, on demand. So have a look at that. Look out for the Creators Update, which will enable that. But Microsoft has also enabled improved sharing access. So when you go to share with someone, it has been a little bit cumbersome trying to get them to create a free Microsoft account, sign in with that, get access to the information. So Microsoft has now enabled the ability to basically send that person a PIN number. They will click on the link, put in that PIN number, and they will get access to the information. And you can also determine whether they need to renew that PIN number, say, every 30 days. So that PIN number can expire, and then they have to revalidate themselves. But the good thing is they just need a PIN number, and they don't need to go through all the dramas or the hassle of setting up a free Microsoft account. So have a look out for that. New sharing abilities with OneDrive. Now, the other thing that OneDrive has added is now the ability to roll back multiple files in one single click. So we've always had the recycle bin where you could delete a file and go to your recycle bin and recover it. We've had situations where CryptoLocker encrypts files, syncs them up to your OneDrive. You can roll the files back individually or use PowerShell to do a bulk rollback, but hasn't been able to do it in the interface. So Microsoft has enabled that now. It's rolling out to OneDrive. You're able to select all the files, roll back to any point in time going forward. It's going to make it much easier, obviously, to get back to previous versions in bulk, but also recover from CryptoLocker infections. So for me, the big announcements, or the most important ones for the SMB space, were what was coming out of OneDrive, the new energy, the positivity, and again, I think OneDrive is, again, getting to that point where it's crossing the Rubicon, and it's really going to become the standard de facto. I'd be worried if I was some other syncing technology. I think it's taken Microsoft a long time to get there, but I really think that that OneDrive, especially with files on demand, is going to work really well. So what else we got in Azure, Mark?
Well, you keep talking about this massive big announcement, one of the biggest announcements of Azure. So look, I'm just going to run through. So that would be in your opinion versus my opinion. But anyway, let me just run through this and hopefully I'll come to it. And if not, I'm sure Rob over there can sort of enlighten you as to what could be this massive announcement in his eyes. So, all right, we've talked about the free account, okay, in Azure. So it gives you access to pretty much a whole bunch of things. And if you have a look at the link, it's awesome. It's pretty cool. The other announcement was virtual network service endpoints for Azure Storage and SQL Database are now in public preview. So now you can secure Azure Storage and Azure SQL Database endpoints to only your virtual networks by using virtual network service endpoints. Endpoints provide a direct connection from your virtual network to the Azure services, extending your virtual network's private address space and identity to the services. Traffic from your virtual network to the services will always remain on the Microsoft Azure network backbone. More info in the show notes. Now, the other one that came across, which they announced prior to Ignite, but then they also announced it again at Ignite, was what's called this Azure Reboot. They're effectively doing a massive reboot right across Azure, a global planned on-demand maintenance is what they're calling it. It's happening right across the board. And so the last time they did this was probably about a year or two years ago. And they sometimes need to do this because a lot of the updates they do on their host do affect, obviously, the whole host, the hypervisor itself. And they do obviously need to restart the virtual machines and get the virtual machines across onto other hosts.
Aren't they also upgrading the underlying host to Server 2016?
Correct. That's all part of it. Now, normally when they're doing updates on hosts, which is not a major update, they have what's called virtual machine preserving host updates, which essentially your machine like freezes for a few seconds, like you pretty much don't notice it, doesn't restart, and most of the time it goes unnoticed. But this time they're giving people 2 to 4 weeks notice. So what happens is you'll get an email, you'll be notified, you yourself will be the one that initiates this maintenance. Though Microsoft aren't pushing it on you, you're the one who's going to initiate it. So you'll have a time frame like around, say, 2 weeks to do it. So when logging into the portal, you'll see a notification against your VMs up the top. It'll be a little link there. All you need to do is simply restart your VM at a time that's suitable for you, like just a straight restart. That's it. So Azure will ensure your VM will come up onto another host that's already been updated. Simple, easy, that's it. So
there's a good video with what's his name, Mark Hanselman, on that covers that too.
Scott Hanselman.
So
yes,
covers all that, shows you all the process, what's going to happen in the back end. So certainly advise people. I put that on my blog as well, so something to have a look at, just so you're up to speed if you do have virtual machines in Azure.
Yep, it's pretty painless. So yeah, all right. So new submarine cables. So only days ago, they completed the new Maria Transatlantic Subsea Cable, the latest addition to Microsoft's global network. So Maria is a joint project between, say, Microsoft, Facebook, and Telexius. It represents Microsoft's largest infrastructure initiative to support customer demand and service innovation across the globe. So Maria is the highest capacity cable to ever cross the Atlantic and the first to connect Virginia to Spain. It'll help support the growing demand for high-speed, reliable connections to the US and Europe, including the newest Azure regions coming in France and beyond. Now, also, the other announcement was the general availability of Service Fabric on Linux. So Azure Service Fabric is a fundamental microservices and orchestration platform that powers the core Azure infrastructure. So Service Fabric is a general purpose hosting platform. It supports containers, PaaS-based solutions, serverless functions in a container. And now you can run Azure Container Instances on top of Service Fabric. So Service Fabric supports the deployment of Docker containers on Linux and Windows Server containers on Windows Server 2016. Recently announced is the general availability of Service Fabric on Linux for container orchestration in all regions. You can now run containerized applications on Service Fabric for both Windows Server and Linux. Microsoft currently support Ubuntu 16.04 for Linux clusters, with other Linux OSs, including Red Hat Enterprise Linux, coming soon. They're on the roadmap. So the runtime experience for Linux is identical to what you're familiar with. More info of that in the show notes. Now, okay, I'll leave the best to last. So, Rob, the biggest announcement. You ready for it?
Yep, I'm ready. Waiting with my cheeks clenched.
The biggest announcement, best to last, at Microsoft Ignite for Azure is Azure File Sync. So the preview of a great new feature in Azure Files that enables you to get the best of both worlds in cloud and on-prem. So Azure File Sync is the answer. It keeps your Azure files share in sync, and the ability to tier files with on-prem Windows file servers. It enables you to keep only the newest and most recently accessed files locally, as well as the ability to see and access the entire namespace through seamless cloud recall. With Azure File Sync, you can effectively transform your Windows file server into an on-prem tier of Azure files. More info in the show notes.
I have a story about that.
Go on. I know you do.
I have a story about that.
I know, you've been playing with it.
That's right. I set it up. I watched the Ignite video. I set it up, and I couldn't get it to work. So after mucking around a bit more and getting a little bit further, I reached out to the Microsoft people, the people that own the service, and said, I'm having some issues here. So they got me to run some diagnostics. I sent them the diagnostics, and it turns out there was a bit of a problem. Want to guess what the problem was?
Internet connection?
No, the problem is that currently, although it says it works in the Australian data center, there apparently is a problem that they are addressing that is preventing it from working. So they're going to get back to me shortly and let me know. So I managed to find the error with Azure File Sync service in the Australian data centers. So if you do want to play with it, set it up in a US data center for the time being. I'm sure they'll fix it by the time the podcast come out. But I can tell you I spent many frustrating hours trying to get it to work, and then was, I suppose, a bit relieved to find out that it wasn't me. It was the whole Australian data center causing the issue. Right. So, yeah, it's a really cool service. I think that it's going to be big in the space. I'm getting up to speed with it, and I'll be doing a deep dive on it in my upcoming Azure webinar, which I do monthly, and you can get details of that on my blog. So is that all the Azure news? You're completely spent, are you?
So was I right? That was, in your opinion, the biggest announcement was Azure File Sync?
No, that was the third biggest announcement. That was the bronze medalist.
What was, in your opinion, the biggest announcement? Go on. Over to you.
The silver award for the biggest Azure announcement was the Cloud PowerShell, which means that we can now run PowerShell from our iOS or Android device.
How did I forget?
Yes.
Okay. Now, actually, correction. Yes, it's in the portal, but on the app on my phone, I don't see it on the app yet, and I have updated the app.
Guess what? If you read my blog, you will find that it works on the app that I have on my iOS and on my Android. So you probably
Well, it doesn't
need
on mine.
Well, that's unfortunate because it works on mine, and that's all that matters because it's true. It works.
Doesn't on mine. I'm going into it right now.
In the top left, you do need to change it from Bash to PowerShell. Don't forget to change that pull down in the top.
I know.
And do
I
you
know.
do you want? Well, you don't, obviously. Now, do you want to know the absolute gold medal, award-winning, biggest announcement from Ignite when it comes to Azure?
Go on.
The biggest announcement, drum roll please, is that Azure has a new logo. Have you seen that?
Okay, now I can see PowerShell. Hang on. Yeah. Oh, all right. Yes. Hang on. Now I can see PowerShell on the app. I can see it now.
Rob was right and Mark was wrong again.
No, the app must have just updated just recently.
Right. So Mark was wrong again and Rob was right again. Consistency in podcast. That's what we like. So,
and the new logo for Azure.
Yeah, what do you think about the new logo here?
Well, I'm giving away a whole bunch of shirts with this new logo on it at Ignite, like heaps and heaps of shirts. And I have to say, I love it. It's fantastic.
It's interesting. I've heard it described as the office logo run over by a steamroller. So it's a bit strange. So if you haven't seen it, we'll put it in the blog and the show notes so you can have a look. It's basically a sort of a triangular A that looks like a pyramid or a tent in a way, I suppose. But
it does look like a tent, doesn't it? Like a teepee or something.
Interesting, but it does make it stand out. I do agree, but I don't think somehow it'll be the end result. Now, a couple of
other... They didn't really have an Azure logo before. It was more like that icon which they had.
With they had a cloud and a little plug into the cloud. So there's been a couple, but this is now an official one. So some more announcements that I picked up around Azure that I think are important are the Azure Data Box. So basically, this is a big computer, a big disk that Microsoft will send you. You copy all your data onto it, terabytes and terabytes and terabytes, ship it back to Microsoft, and then they'll copy it up to your Azure environment for you. So have a look at the Azure Data Box. The other big announcement I thought was that SQL is now running on Linux. So SQL 2017 will now run on Linux. This is not a different version of SQL. It is exactly the same version of Windows. So all the coding, all that's the same. They've just ported it basically to that environment. So consistent. And again, it's very interesting because the big competitor to SQL, Microsoft SQL, is Oracle. So this is going to give a lot of people in enterprise the ability to go back and look at the costings of Linux and Azure and SQL versus what they're potentially paying for their Oracle environment and maybe bring that across. Now, the other one that you've mentioned, obviously, is new VM sizes. Fantastic. The reserved instances, that puts it on par with AWS. And you talked about the improved VM management, so the disaster recovery, update management, inventory, and
so
change
portal
tracking.
Into the portal, I've just like made it available in there, so it's much, much easier to access.
Yeah, and it's really cool what it can do. So you can turn on this change tracking, you can see what's changing your VM, but you can also now extend that on into on-prem. So that's, again, a really, really cool way of doing that. So I think there's just so much news in there about Azure, Microsoft 365, Dynamics 365, Office 365. Now, the thing I have to give Microsoft kudos for, I think Mark and I probably would have liked to have gone to Ignite, but it's a long way to travel and there's an expense to getting across there. But
plus, Microsoft
has made effectively all that content available online. So all the slide decks are up there. All the videos are now on YouTube as well as in the tech community. There is a PowerShell script you can get that'll download all of that for you so you can watch it offline now. Again, I think this is fantastic. There's something like 1,695 or 83 sessions that you can work through and certainly recommend you have a look at that. And that's
they've put it on YouTube again, which is a fantastic idea because it works beautifully.
And you can do the watch later. And the good thing about the YouTube is...
Yeah, and you can add it to your customized playlists. You can watch it twice the speed or 1.5 times the speed as well. You can really take it in. Like, it's quite easy to actually absorb that information at twice the speed, and it's quite clear, easy to understand.
Yeah, so I think, again, we do have to give Microsoft kudos for that investment because there's obviously a huge amount of obviously setting up, running a conference of that size, but also recording all the sessions, the Microsoft mechanics as well, making them available and doing it so quickly, I think is fantastic. For all of those people who didn't make the conference at the time, I think, you know, again, it shows Microsoft's commitment to getting that information out and sharing with people. So again, I think that's something that they really, probably a lot of people don't give them kudos for. And I personally would like to thank them for that because it makes my job so much easier being able to go through all that information.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah?
Where's the tab button? The tab key.
In the top left corner, isn't it?
No. This is on the app, the Azure app on my iPhone. and I'm using PowerShell. I'm just typing in the command get Azure RM VM to list all my VMs in the default subscription, but I need to go through select Azure RM subscription or get Azure RM subscription to get the list of subscriptions and then select the one that I want to work with. But there's no tab complete with, there's no tab key on the keyboard. They need to add a tab key because rather than typing the whole command, that's a whole benefit of using PowerShell. You can tab complete.
So I would suggest that young Mark needs to go to user voice for the Azure app and put that in as a suggestion for Microsoft.
But is there a tab key on the iOS keyboard?
Look, Mark, you've used up your one service call for today. You would have to pay for another one, I'm sorry to inform you. So maybe on the next podcast, we can help Mark troubleshoot his application. Or if you want to address Mark directly, remember, you can reach Mark at Mark Keane on the Twitter. How else can people get in contact with us, Mark?
Well, Rob, there's one other one we forgot about. One other piece of news that was announced.
What's that?
On the subject of networking, networks, VNets, VNet peering.
We're all holding our breath.
Did you hear about that one?
Tell us.
Global VNet peering is now available. It's in preview at the moment. Enables peering because previously VNet peering was only in the same region. And now you can go across Azure regions. So yeah, and the good news is if you go across Azure regions, so VNet to VNet peering, it means that any traffic that flows across never leaves Azure's, or Microsoft's network. It never goes over the public internet. It stays within Microsoft's backbone. So yeah, so VNet, global VNet peering is now available in US West Central, Canada Central, and US West 2. There's a link I'll put in the show notes if you want to try it out and check out the preview. So cool. That was the other announcement, which I think is pretty cool because there's a lot of interest with a lot of folk with VNet peering. But yeah, that's cool.
All right, so a couple of last updates, not so much Ignite, but firstly, don't forget that the Four Creators update is rolling out from October 17, so this will give you files on demand. This is the latest update to Windows 10, so watch out for that as it starts streaming out from the 17th. Also,
speaking of which, I updated my iOS device too, Rob, to version 11.0.2 just overnight, and talking about that new OneDrive files access thing that we talked about previously.
Correct. So now that Apple has Azure has files, the OneDrive will be able to support that. So that's really cool. So again, make sure you update all your stuff.
And not Azure. You mean Apple has
files. Yes, I'm sorry. And then basically, don't forget that will updating your device will also overcome the bug that Apple introduced that wouldn't allow you to connect to your Exchange Online. So
It's still a little bit cumbersome though, because like when you open up a file in the Files app and you point to say OneDrive, it's got a link at the top saying when I open it, say a document in say Excel, it still says copy to Excel within. It doesn't open it directly from. Oh well, I'm sure they're working on it.
Yep, like I said, I mean nothing's perfect. Again, there's always updates, and make sure you update regularly your app. So the other thing that I will mention for those in Australia is that Microsoft is running its summit in Sydney in November. So there's a Biz Summit, a Tech Summit, and a Partner Summit. If you haven't signed up for that, recommend that you do. I'll certainly be there. So if you are, make sure that you contact me. We can catch up.
Should I sign up, Rob?
We may think about. Well, I can't tell you, Mark. You do what Microsoft tells you now. That's the whole deal now that you've signed your goods over to them. So I'm sure you'll be there. You'll get a free pass and you'll be at the door welcoming everybody. So if you do want to meet Mark, make sure that you go to the Tech Summit, and I'm sure you won't miss him. Anything else from you, Mark?
That's about it. Just want to thank our sponsors again. So Ingram MicroCloud and Rode Microphones. We couldn't do it without you guys because you wouldn't be able to hear us with no microphone.
Excellent. All right. Again, I thank everybody. How can we get in contact with the presenters? So I'm at Director CIA. Mark is at
Microsoft.com soon or at Mark Keane on Twitter. So MarkKean.
What about the old traditional email? How can they reach us that way?
Yes, it'll be feedback at needtoknow.cloud. But does anyone really use email anymore?
Oh, yeah. We still get emails occasionally. And don't forget the Facebook. So we got a couple of likes and comments on Facebook. So that's N2K.
At N2K.
And we've got
a comment from one of our listeners as well from last time. We're talking about talking to Adam Fowler in Adelaide on the last podcast and trying to get free pizza, Dev Express. And yeah, that was interesting. That was quite funny.
All right, so I think we're done for this episode. Thank you very much for Mark. Mark will report back when he starts his role at Microsoft. When's that happening, Mark?
As soon as the background check completes. Could be a week, could be 2 weeks, maybe longer.
Excellent. All right, well, hopefully that won't be too long, and then we can have Mark deep inside the belly of the beast, and we can really get to know what's going on. I'm sure we can hypnotize and tease it out of Mark, and he'll never know the difference. So for this episode, thank everybody for listening to the Need to Know podcast.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact. This podcast is voiced and produced by me, Mark Keane.